The views and opinions expressed on this show are those of the sponsor, Gross and Schuster.
When the sun goes down, my head's 30,000 feet in the clouds. Knowing 20 minutes from now, I'll be somewhere.
Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Good morning to you. It is Wednesday, and it is time for our time with Terrence A. Gross with Gross and Schuster on Pep Talk. He is our legal expert in Pensacola, has been here many, many years. Good morning to you, Terry. It's great to see you again.
Good morning. And, maybe one of these days, I'm paying for this. I'll just put Lenny Wilson on for 30 minutes and turn this into a country radio station. I don't know. But
I can talk country if you need me to.
Yeah.
can do that.
Yeah.
We get to change up the whole show.
Yeah. All right. Chitlins well, and,
We can do bring some critters in and we'll be good.
Yeah. But actually next week I celebrate 46 years of practice.
Wow. Congratulations to you, sir. That's incredible. What did you start when you were two?
No. Young man, though. I was a young man at one time. But
okay.
So I've seen a lot of things go and come, and I've talked about on past shows about the tort reform package that was passed in March of 2023. But like most laws, when they're passed, they don't have an immediate effect. It's usually a lag and a delay before they start coming into play. And so we're just now really starting to feel the ramifications of that. And one of the biggest changes in the law was they changed the statute of limitations, the time it takes to file a lawsuit in Florida, from 4 years, which it's been for all injury cases my entire career, until 23, and now it's 2 years.
Wow.
And I complained about it at the time, and now those cases are coming about where I'm having to file suit probably sooner than I want. So what do we always hear? We always hear about lawyers being ambulance chasers, being sue happy. We've heard all these things, and now they've passed a law that is making conservative lawyers like myself file suit more.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you don't file within 2 years, you have no case.
Wow.
So sometimes what happens, I get a person, they have a whiplash, their neck and back hurt.
Right.
They go to the ER, they go to a chiropractor, maybe a pain doctor, maybe MRIs, and then maybe to a surgeon after a year or so. And then the surgeon says, well, the only thing I could see that maybe can eliminate this is a cervical or lumbar fusion, which means we're going to put plates and screws in your spine surgically forever. That's sobering.
Yes, it is.
And the average person's like, can say, okay, I'll do it.
Right.
I'll let you go ahead and put some plates and screws. How about next week?
Right.
That conversation doesn't take place. Most people kick the ball down the road as they should.
Mm-hmm.
But then after 3 or 4 years of agony, some people say, you know what? I'm scared to death of surgery, but I'm doing it.
Right.
And I've seen that scenario time and time and time again. And obviously a case where a person's had surgery has to be worth way more than one without surgery. Medical bills are way higher, the pain and suffering. Who is going to allow plates and screws? What faker is going to allow that
right.
to build a case, right?
Right.
So it kind of takes the whole faking argument out of it.
Mm-hmm.
So historically, I've had plenty of cases where maybe after the third, maybe going into the fourth year, I've been able to settle. Now I'm having to settle, sue prematurely. So probably before the tort reform, I probably sued on 15% of my cases. That means 85% I was able to handle and settle.
Give it a little time.
With no lawsuit. Take time, but no lawsuit. Now we're down to maybe 30%, so it's doubling. I'm just one lawyer.
Mm-hmm.
So if I'm suing twice as much, don't you think every competent lawyer in the state of Florida is doing the same thing? Yes. and then they want to whine that our judges are overloaded, our system's overloaded. Well, you did it to yourselves.
So what was the reasoning behind this, do you think?
I think the reasoning was twofold.
Mm-hmm.
One, hoping that maybe people who weren't litigious, who didn't run to a lawyer right after a wreck, maybe would let that 2 years run before they knew the injury and lose the case.
Mm-hmm.
Or there's a certain faction of lazy lawyers who maybe advertise, have billboards and all that, but never file suit, never go to court,
right,
and just turn cases over.
Mm-hmm.
So they're hoping, that if they do it within 2 years, the cases will be worth a lot less
mm-hmm.
than if they languish for
longer. And maybe trying
longer.
To get those
yes.
lawyers to be more efficient.
So whatever it was, wherever the logic was, it's backfired because now there's more cases in litigation. All my friends that are defense lawyers that represent insurance companies are hiring young lawyers. They're busy, busy as can be.
Mm-hmm.
The judges are totally unhappy, totally overloaded. But then the Supreme Court came. It's like a double whammy here. So we had this making us file suit earlier than we wanted.
Mm-hmm.
Then as of January of 2025, the Supreme Court said, we're going to start setting court dates as soon as you file suit. So I just filed a lawsuit. The insurance company hadn't even hired a lawyer yet. They hadn't even answered. And I already got a multi-page order from a judge saying, you're taking depositions by this date. You're doing this by this date.
Wow.
Your trial's this. So they're coming in and micromanaging us and forcing cases to trial sooner,
mm-hmm.
Which our trial judges, our local judges, hate these things.
Right.
And so these poor judges are overloaded. Back in the day, I'll tell you this, and here's how you could tell. It's like the canary in the coal mine
mm-hmm.
scenario.
Right.
Back in the day, you go back 10 years ago, and all my whole career, if someone was elected or appointed judge, they always served to their 70. There's forced retirement at 70
mm-hmm.
and circuit judges in Florida. But if they were 53 years old, they would do 17 years
right.
and then retire. That was very common.
Mm-hmm.
Now what's happening is they're appointing these judges and they serve 5 or 6 years. They go, I'm out of here. And so we're seeing a lot of turnover. You never saw this before. And the judges are totally overworked, underpaid, understaffed, and the legislature won't give us more relief. So I know that we have petitioned for 2 more circuit judges in this circuit, and the first circuit is Escambia, mm-hmm. Santa Rosa, Okaloosa, Walton counties. And we've asked for 2 more judges, and the legislature's denied it. Yeah, it's too expensive.
Really?
So if you ask the average judge, they're overwhelmed.
Mm.
And historically, personal injury cases have kind of taken a back seat because criminal cases come first because you mm-hmm. got the speedy trial rule. So if you don't get a defendant to trial in a certain amount of time, they walk.
Right.
So you have to do that. And then you have your divorce cases, and so kind of we've always been the last to be heard, really. And so if a judge is sitting on the bench for 52 weeks a year, they usually put about 6 weeks for personal injury cases. That's it. So
six weeks
out of 52, which isn't much, but it used to be, there'd be 3 or 4 trials scheduled and mm-hmm. some would settle at the last minute, blah, blah, blah. Now I'm seeing 12 and 14 cases set for 1 week, but guess what? They can only hear 1 a week.
Wow. So how do you reconcile that?
It's broken. The system's broken. There is no way. So they're hoping that maybe because of that,
mm-hmm.
either sides, they somehow settle maybe because the plaintiff's ready to get the case over with. The insurance company's tired of paying for their lawyers.
Right.
So maybe some of those cases do go away because of the imminence of the trial, but some just get continued regardless. So it's just a cluster F.
Mm.
And
what can be done about it? Terry, well, what do you think?
They've created this. They've created this perfect storm.
Mm-hmm.
So there is a term of art. There's a term of art in the personal injury field, in the medical field,
mm-hmm.
and it's called MMI. It stands for Maximum Date of Medical Improvement. It means there is a date when the doctors opine that this person is as good as they're going to be.
Mm-hmm.
And as I've already pointed out, at 2 years, some people aren't MMI. If you need surgery,
right,
and you just haven't had it yet, technically you're not MMI because mm-hmm. there's still something else that could be done. And so you're forcing a lawyer to file suit before MMI, and now the judges are giving you a trial date pretty quick, so you can end up going to trial and you're not even through a treatment.
So the two-year time frame seems very arbitrary, because when it comes to medical issues, it isn't that simple.
True, and just all the logistics. So 4 years I thought was generous, and a lot of states do have 2 years, so I'm mm-hmm. not saying it's an aberration,
mm-hmm.
but they've created these consequences. So the consequences are obvious. There's more lawsuits being filed, and the obvious thing is when you talk to any insurance defense lawyer,
mm-hmm.
they're as busy as could be, and they're all looking for new young lawyers. So it's great job security for these young lawyers, mm-hmm. because there's just so many being filed statewide. There's over 100,000 lawyers. Now, they're not all plaintiff's personal injury lawyers, but mm-hmm. say 30% are. I don't know what the number is, but that's 30,000 lawyers. And if they're all filing more lawsuits, that's a lot of lawsuits. And then they want to blame us, the plaintiff's bar, mm-hmm. for the problem. Oh, it's the Sue Happy lawyers. A lot of us are not Sue Happy.
Mm-hmm. But now you've been forced to go forward.
Because of the statute. And what that does to the poor client that gets caught in the middle, first of all, it increased the cost dramatically. Yeah, the filing of lawsuits, not too bad. It's about $600 to file, but then you do depositions, that's mm-hmm. thousands. If you take a doctor's deposition now, a doctor's deposition averages about $5,000 per doctor.
Wow.
And sometimes, even though you don't see the radiologist, you go in for an MRI. Well, who read the MRI?
Mm-hmm.
A radiologist. You never saw him. But if we have to take his deposition, doctor, could you explain this MRI for us? $5,000.
Wow.
The orthopedist, $5,000.
Mm.
The pain doctor, $5,000. So it used to be I could get a case to court, you know, like a whiplash.
Mm-hmm.
I can get a case to court back in the day for $5,000. Now it's $50,000.
Wow.
So we have to spend $50,000. So if we win, the client's got to pay me back that $50,000.
Right.
Plus my fees and stuff. And so we could get up there.
Is there anything that a client can do that would help to make this change back to what it used to be, or some way to go forward?
Not really. The horse is out of the barn, so it's always easy to say, contact your legislature.
Mm-hmm.
That's not going to work. I mean, the law's been passed. It's already been written and signed into law by DeSantis. So there's really nothing the average citizen could do, mm-hmm. other than they get a competent lawyer. But even with a competent lawyer, the odds of a lawsuit may be greater. Now, some insurance companies care about how much money they spend on defense lawyers.
Mm-hmm.
Some don't care at all.
Mm.
And they want the plaintiff's lawyers to know, they want to send a message that if you file a lawsuit, you better dig in,
because
we're going to work you to death. And some companies pride themselves in that.
Interesting. We're talking with Terrence Gross with Gross & Schuster, a law firm. If you have a question for him, 850-437-1620. We did have a comment that came in while you were sharing that says that what you say makes sense about a two-year time clock to file a lawsuit. But wait, I thought the trial lawyers had tremendous influence with the state legislature in Tallahassee.
We have some influence. We are a gnat on the rear end compared to the insurance lobby. Nobody can compare or beat the insurance lobby. So the trial lawyers, yes, we have a fairly strong organization, but when State Farm, Allstate, Nationwide, Geico want to pull their money together on something and beat the drum, we cannot compete.
Right.
And a lot of times, they bring in, like State Farm may bring in monies from out of state just because that's what they, you know, they're out of Illinois. So
right.
they care about every law in every right. state. They're going to put as much money as they need to because if they think it behooves them and it saves some money. Another example in this package, by the way, was hurricane claims. This may be near and dear to some people's hearts. So you could say, well, you know, I haven't been in a wreck. I've never used a personal injury lawyer, but we all own homes. Some of us did have claims of Ivan. Some of us did have claims with Sally. And now that's changed. So let's go back. So back with Ivan, let's say you had your house insured for $300,000 of wind damage.
Okay.
And let's say your insurance company, for some reason, lowballed you on an obvious $300,000 laydown case, which does take place.
Mm-hmm.
So you had to get a lawyer.
Right.
So you get this lawyer, he litigates, he sues. Maybe they settle out of court, maybe they go to court.
Mm-hmm.
But by and large, the lawyer, through his efforts, gets you the $300,000.
Okay.
Well, back then, the lawyer can make the insurance company pay the lawyer his fees. So you would get your $300,000 and you didn't have to pay the lawyer anything.
Which
the insurance
great.
Company that you fought against as a penalty would have to pay the lawyer's fees and costs, which could be over $100,000.
And now, I think that's fair.
So now that law has changed as of 23 to where lawyer's fees are limited to 25%, but the claimant pays it. So now if you have that same claim, your lawyer gets $75,000 fee from you plus costs, which could be $100,000 because they probably have to hire a public adjuster and God knows what. And all of a sudden you win, but now you're only getting $200. You paid for $300.
But you're not getting that full
amount. Now you're only
back.
Getting $200 because you had to get a lawyer.
Right.
And it's not the lawyer's fault. The lawyer's kind of caught in the middle. They can't work for free. And that was the whole tort reform to reduce our rates. That was the one measure. It's the only thing they did in response. There's a crisis in Florida. We have to reduce the rates. So that's what they did. Have your rates gone down? Mine haven't.
No, in fact, gone up, actually.
Yeah, so... it'll be interesting this year because, again, we've been knocking wood, got away with no storms in Florida, it looks like.
Thank God.
With every cold front, it makes me feel better.
Mm-hmm.
And it feels great out there now. So, anyway, with that being said, they don't pass it on. So if there is some kind of savings, they never pass it on to us, the consumer. And that was the same with medical malpractice reform where they had that. It never got passed on to us. Workers' comp, all these. You talk to any contractor, if they're listening, any contractor driving, I don't care what kind of contractor you are, all my friends that are contractors tell me that one of their biggest line item expenses is workers' comp.
Mm-hmm.
And they've reformed it totally. The injured worker doesn't get anything for pain and suffering. They get marginal medical help and whatever. And yet, did any of that help decrease the amount that the contractors pay for workers' comp? The answer is no. Because they could say, I'm paying through the nose. Wait a second. If the worker's not getting much and the employer contractor is still paying all these premiums, where's it going?
Who's getting the money?
In the insurance company.
Mm.
And so that's what goes on. And it happens all the time. So, yes, our lobby is fairly good as it could be, but we're I can't tell you how minor we are when compared to the insurance lobbies.
Right.
There's no way that we can. So some of our biggest wins are they table it or they don't pass some package for 1 year.
Right.
But it's back on the next year, and maybe we defeat them that year, then it's back on, and eventually – it goes through. I've seen so much tort reform in my career. I'll do a show. Maybe next time I'm on, I'll give you a history of all the tort reform I've seen.
Oh, I would love that.
Oh, it's crazy.
Because I know so much has changed.
Oh, it's tremendously so. And everything they do, when they say tort reform, the person that gets the shaft is the injured party.
Mm.
It's just like when they put the caps on damages. If you think about when they put caps on damages, it really didn't affect the whiplash cases and the minor injury cases. It affected the quadriplegic cases.
Oh, the catastrophic.
The amputation. So right. All of a sudden, you've lost your leg due to a medical malpractice, and you got a cap of 500. You lost your leg because they cut off the wrong leg. There was that case.
Oh, my God.
The guy had a cancerous leg, and he wakes up after surgery, and they cut off his good leg.
What
so
a
now
nightmare.
He's going to be a double amputee.
Oh,
and now,
gosh.
Oh, here's another 500. Have a nice day.
Oh, my gosh.
I mean.
And they can't sue from that?
Well, you get caps. That's what these caps are all about. The Supreme Court eventually found the cap unconstitutional.
I would think so.
It took 10 years.
Golly.
So for 10 years, people got screwed.
Right.
And then when it worked its way up. So when a law is passed,
mm-hmm.
it doesn't go before the Supreme Court the next month. I mean, mm-hmm. it has to bounce around the lower courts and has to go to court and then go to the district courts and up and down. So it took 10 years before the Supreme Court said, hey, that's unconstitutional.
Golly. So how do you keep up with it all?
I read something called the Florida Law Weekly. It's mm-hmm. a summary of all the appellate cases that come down every week. I read it. I've done it my whole career.
Mm-hmm.
I'm giving a seminar this Friday for local lawyers. Public, probably a little bit dry, a little technical for the public, but it will be at the Gulf Coast Kids House on 12th Avenue, 9 o'clock this Friday for 3 hours, and probably have younger lawyers there.
Interesting.
And I'm gonna give a seminar on a lot of the smatterings and some of the cases that are affecting our law practice. But it's the name of the course is Recent Cases You Ought to Know, mm-hmm. AUTO, Ought to Know.
And that's clever.
So, yeah.
Well, I would imagine it's very difficult to keep up with it. And I'm thinking if you're in the middle of a case and tort reform comes down, that changes everything, doesn't it?
It can or cannot. Sometimes you're grandfathered in.
That's my question,
yeah. Some rules tend to be grandfathered in, other ones are not. So it's just, but I've always kept up with it because it's like a competent doctor. I hope an orthopedic surgeon
mm-hmm.
is keeping up with the cutting edge of orthopedic surgery. I would hope they are.
Well, at least to cut off the right leg.
That'd be nice.
That would be good.
Yeah.
So right. This is probably a lawyer question 101, but as a client, I have an accident, something bad has happened. What do I need to do right away?
I think consult with a lawyer or one or more lawyers, because all personal injury lawyers give free consultations. I've had certain people come in, they talk to me, and mm-hmm. they're like, it gets awkward, and they're, how much was that?
Mm-hmm.
It's nothing. It's a free consultation.
Okay.
And I've never known any personal injury lawyer to charge for a consultation. So if you don't like what you hear from one lawyer, try mm-hmm. another one, and so forth until you think you got the right fit. Because picking a lawyer is like picking a doctor. So before you have surgery, would you just go to the first guy out of the phone book or
mm-hmm.
some doctor on a billboard? Would you let them do surgery on you? Well, having your case, having a one-time and a once-a-lifetime personal injury case is very personal
mm-hmm.
and could be like surgery.
What kind of questions should I ask when I come in to interview with you to find a good attorney?
I just common sense questions, about their experience,
mm-hmm.
what do they think? And if some lawyer at the first appointment says, I think your case worth $200,000, you better run. Because if you call a doctor up and say, my stomach hurts, doctor, what is it? And he starts telling you what the hell. It could be indigestion. Mm-hmm. It could be colitis. It could be appendicitis. It could be cancer, God forbid. You don't know without testing and looking. So how in the world could a lawyer at a first appointment know the value of the case? I see we're quickly running out of time.
About a minute or so to go here.
This is Terrence Gross. My phone number locally is 850-434-3333. I have a great website, grossandschuster.com. We're on about every 2 weeks at this time slot. If you go to our webpage, you'll see many articles on this very same topic today and mm-hmm. other topics I talk about. So grossandschuster.com, check it out, and we'll be glad to help you.
All right. Well, I like this idea of you coming back and talking about this some more because it's so interesting and it's hard for the average person to keep up.
Right.
With everything that's happening.
Yes.
So we have about 30 seconds left. You're an FSU fan?
I am, and I'm a blasé fan, but I'm there. I was there for the games. I keep on going, but
okay.
Yes, I am.
I
so
gotcha.
We'll see.
All right, go Noles.
Okay, thank you. Bye-bye.
All right, we've been talking with Terrence Gross.